The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you all.
And also with you.
I'm feeling a bit more distracted than usual this week. I'm always a little bit distracted, as the staff will attest. But just kind of alternately sad and horrified by the most recent school shooting in Parkland, Florida. This one seemed to just hit me in a different way than some of the others. Frustrated that our leaders can't seem to take care of the dreamers, discouraged that every time I wake up, there's a renewed attack by our government on just anybody who's on the margins, and then feeling powerless in the wake of it all. What I've long appreciated about the church, though, is, and especially about this congregation, is the way that everything about me, my woes and my cares, my anger, my grief, they're embraced here. And they're drawn into something larger in worship. Here we're reminded that we're not alone. We're on a long journey. We're on a pilgrimage toward a more compassionate world, one that God's people have been on for how long? For generations. And so when my brows are furrowed and my vision is narrowed down to the width of a grumble, Lent can be that time for my gaze to expand and to notice that I'm on a wider trail, to look to the side and see that I have marvelous companions along the way. And bonus, we have some really great music to accompany us. Amen? I like what Samuel Wells says. He's the vicar of St. Martin in the Fields. Up until recently, I will confess that I thought that St. Martin in the Fields was a choir, and it's not. It's an actual church, right? So, Samuel Wells. Christianity is fundamentally a story about where we're going. Into the company of God's grace, in the harmony of the restored creation through the mercy of God's incarnate love. To honor that story means to practice disciplines and foster habits that evoke its meaning. Church means giving up the fantasy that we can find fulfillment and righteousness alone. It means doing things at inconvenient times with eccentric people in sometimes clumsy ways. Because life is a team game. And on Judgment Day, God will have nothing to say to us if we think that we can come in without all the others. What really struck home for me, well, several things, what really struck home for me was the part, doing things at inconvenient times with eccentric people in sometimes clumsy ways. When I read that, I wondered if Sam Wells had been spying on us. I mean, we could make it a lot easier here, right? I mean, think of it. There's a church in Dallas I read about recently. A member described it like this. We don't go often to our church because the church live streams the services. We can watch it anytime. I mean, if the kids are playing in the family room or we're busy pulling brunch together, we can have worship on in the background. It's really neat. I mean, wouldn't that have made Marathon Sunday so much easier? Really, Pastor John, what are you thinking? I mean, just catch the podcast this afternoon while you're out running errands when the marathon is over, and then like it on Facebook. Worship done. Check. I mean, if we chose that path, we would even have one of our finest poets on our side, Emily Dickinson, who wrote, "Some keep the Sabbath going to church. I keep it staying at home." I think there are a lot of Dickinson followers out there in Austin, Texas. So, one way to describe the Christian life is the piling on of inconveniences. The piling on of inconveniences. Not only are you coming here at an inconvenient time of day when people are trying to get brunch ready, winding through Austin, trying to avoid runners in a city that is no picnic to drive in on a good day. You're here to sing some hymns that you didn't pick. You're here to listen to music that's not on your favorites list on your phone, and hear scriptures that you didn't choose, and hear a message that you didn't pick, and sit next to people that you may not even know, and be asked to commit to work and make sacrifices and give of your treasure for things that you may not have the foggiest notion of. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because if you hang around for a while, we're going to ask you to be more welcoming and more inclusive, not just of the folks that you know around you, but everybody who walks in that door. We're going to ask you to invite your friends and put church stuff here on Facebook. And honestly, most progressive Christians would probably have a root canal than do that. I remember someone telling me one day that they were having dinner with some friends, and it just slipped out in the conversation that they were members of University Methodist Church. And the person who was telling me the story said the other person looked at me across the table like she had just stumbled upon an extinct fossil that had come to life and said, "Wow, I didn't know anyone even went to church these days. You go to church? Really?" I mean, when you can order up all your preferences, your whole life on your cell phone, the ways that we have of being church must seem to those who look in not only inconvenient, but so quaint and so dated. There's nothing wrong with convenience. This is not a sermon against convenience. On a long car trip, I've been known to breathe a soft hallelujah under my breath at the sight of a Buc-ee's sign off in the distance, even though I really don't like Buc-ee's much at all. I mean, there are things that we do here at church for your convenience, right? We do pack a lot of stuff in on Sundays and stack events up because we understand that getting here during the week is a challenge. We try to offer ways from time to time for you to be in service on Sunday morning, like signing the Valentines last week, which I need to tell you about at some point because that was really cool. Signing the Valentines for folks who are living in sanctuary in churches around the country. But you know, I don't need to tell you this, convenience all on its own is probably not the way to a good life. Think of the times when your life really expanded or stretched or deepened. You know it didn't happen by magic. There was probably a little bit of discomfort and some inconvenience along the way. You know that inconvenience has deep value. During Lent, we invite you to walk down the road with Jesus. Some of you were here on Ash Wednesday and received the dust on Ash Wednesday. If you walk down the road with Jesus, there's going to be dust all over you from head to toe. And it's going to be very inconvenient. A few weeks ago, we left Jesus freeze-framed at his baptism, right? Water still dripping off his brow. A dove had floated down from the heavens. A voice proclaimed that he is indeed God's chosen one. Next scene, a golden chariot pulled by draft horses parts the river and picks Jesus up and whisks him off to the temple. Not quite, right? Not quite. Next scene, Jesus is led into the desert, where he faces the temptation to take an easier, much more convenient path. I remember we were studying those verses in a confirmation class when I was about 14 years old, and I wondered out loud why Jesus didn't take up the devil's offer to him. And this may be why I spent more time in the hallway than I did in confirmation class. Maybe that's where we should look for our pastors, right? For the ones that get kicked out of class for asking too many questions. I don't know. But seriously, I asked, I said, if the goal is for Jesus to be the king and the devil is offering for Jesus to be king, then what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that what you get from the devil is a shiny Burger King crown But what you get from doing the actual hard, inconvenient work of creating community from reluctant and at times bumbling disciples is something so much deeper and so much more beautiful. It's something that lasts millennia. It's something that has the inner strength to stand up and push back against empire. It's something that offers love and forgiveness and leaves convenience at the door. You know, Lent can sometimes be confused with a time of great heroics, when all the things that we've saved up over the last year that we don't want to do, we're not going to do those during Lent, right? And all those things that we know that we're supposed to be taking on, all that list of things that you keep in the back of your head, and you say, yes, I will do it during Lent. So let's just take a deep breath and say that that's all completely ridiculous, okay? And let's imagine what inconvenience might look like for mere mortals, for people like you and me. We're committed to seeing our way into a new world. And we're committed to practicing inconvenience together. Comedian Sarah Silverman, you weren't expecting that, were you? No one expects comedian Sarah Silverman in a sermon. She's not someone you would expect, who you would expect would back down from a fight on social media, right? Some of you may have heard this story. When a man responded to one of her tweets with a really offensive profanity, her fans were probably thinking, game on, right? Go get him, Sarah. To everyone's surprise, Silverman took a different path. She responded, I believe in you. I read your timeline and I see what you're doing. And your rage is thinly veiled pain. See what happens when you choose love. I see it in you. The man, Jeremy Jamrosi from San Antonio, Texas, opened up to Silverman about his problems. I can't choose love, he tweeted. A man took that away when I was 8. I can't find peace. Silverman exchanged more tweets back and forth, encouraged him to find support. She wrote, this rage is punishing you and you don't deserve punishment. You deserve support. Go to one of these support groups. You might meet your best brothers there. And so he did. He sought help. Silverman helped raise money. Said, I don't have any money. Helped raise money for the treatment. She contacted some doctors that she knew in San Antonio. He's even given some money away that was raised for him to help others. And he's doing better. Now, I read some of his tweets. He's not quite ready for canonization. But something happened in this exchange, right? Something happened. It opened a doorway, even if briefly, for just a moment, for us to see that we forget that there's other ways. There's other paths. There's a road that's less traveled. There's a simple, inconvenient way to peace. So it's Lent, my friends, and I hope today, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you wended your way through, and I apologize for telling you over and over again that Waze and Google Maps were going to get you here. They completely let us down, and we'll certainly get back to the marathon people about that. But you made it here, and you're beginning a holy Lent. So welcome. Welcome to the inconvenient life. Welcome to the path of most resistance. Did you catch that? Welcome to the road that is less traveled. When we follow Jesus, to some, it's going to look like a barren desert with nothing there. But my prayer is that you will find something different, that you will find a garden. And in that, you will find your truest self and what you were made for. Amen.